You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from snowy Arizona. What's the story there, Mark?
Oh, I'm up in Flagstaff, so we have a little bit of a snowstorm up here. No big deal, just a few inches, but, you know, we're at 7,000 feet, so you can get some snow up here occasionally. It's about a 2.5-hour drive down to Phoenix where, you know, the weather is completely different, but had to come up here for some business, and it's beautiful up here with the Mount Humphrey, 12,000-foot peaks, and which was, by the way, an extinct volcano, which is real interesting stuff since we talked about geocosmics once in a while and volcanic activity picking up along all over the planet. Not that this old volcano would ever come back to life, but anything is possible in geologic times. So I always think about that, always looking at crazy stuff. But there's a lot of volcanic fields up here. You look at a map of northern Arizona between Flagstaff up toward the Utah border, there's dozens of old cones, volcanic cones that, you know, from ancient history that exist in this area. So could it come back up here? Could the Earth reactivate these volcanic areas, volcanic area? Could happen. You know, maybe 10,000 years, maybe it's never, but something really interesting. It's a beautiful spot. So, yeah, I'm up here just for a little bit of a break and some business.
Mazel tov. Congratulations to your son and his beautiful bride-to-be this weekend as well.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, we'll have a wedding coming up starting Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And, yeah, it's my youngest and last, I guess you could say. So, and he's going to be a doctor, dermatologist, and off the payroll, as they say, right?
Dermatologists, doctors who have skin in the game. Do we have a do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, sure, Jim. 50% off using the promo code half off, and go to VRTrader.com, and anywhere, you know, anywhere you place in, there's a promo code spot, so you just enter half off, and I strongly urge subscribers to our new subscribers to consider the annual forecast model, because it's done an incredible job calling the various markets here on a cyclical basis. So great product, still on sale, and still has a lot of validity into the rest of the year. Anyway, 50% off, half off is a promo code at VRTrader.com.
Yeah, under the conditions we're seeing in the markets today, having some kind of guidance certainly very helpful right now.
Right, and you know, we had warned and talked about this. I mean, basically, you know, from December on, we talked about the change of direction cycles from December into March, possibly into April or May, and you know, this is all happening. We had an extended market last year, a lot of divergence. There was, you know, just insanity in the pricing of the Mag 7 stocks. And, you know, when 7 stocks out of 500 in the S&P 500 are controlling 20 or 30% of the move or more, it really didn't make a lot of sense. So the market is catching up with reality here. But it was, you know, way overdone, and a lot of uncertainty out there, you know, with the tariffs and everything. But, you know, when you look at the charts, you're not talking about specific news stories. You know, I'm talking about the market coming down into the first quarter, and there was really no real specific, you know, numbers on the tariffs or on taxes, just general discussion about it, you know, political, geopolitical situations. So the market has its own language, and it speaks its own language, and it sort of tells you that, you know, you could even look at Warren Buffett. I mean, look, you know, Warren Buffett was raising cash all through last year, had the largest cash hoard he ever had, probably the most successful investor of all time. I mean, you know, smart men like that will telling you for months that you got to be careful, that something is wrong here. So, you know, some of the dumb money, you know, is sort of caught in the market, and we'll see where it all plays out. I'm still overall a bull, though. You know, big picture, we talked about this over the years on these interviews. You know, going back 100 years, you get these huge shakeouts, and those who are really super long-term oriented, you know, always seem to get bailed out eventually, whether you go through these 6 month or 2 year time periods. But I don't think it's that bad this year. I think the cycle, say, will come out of it. We'll just have to wait for the technical signals. And, you know, they'll tell you before the news hits. You'll see bottoming action. You'll see things happening. It's a real interesting day. I'm looking at the stock market. You know, as you know, I mentioned I was a bit bearish on crude oil. I talked about this, and it sort of ran up here the last week or so, and it's down sharply today. That was one of our recommended short positions for the year. Not to say it can't rally again, but we overall had targets maybe even into mid-50s in crude oil, maybe even lower. And you know, that was more of a 12-month comment, but we'll see if that plays out. And natural gas is up here a bit today. These are something that we've talked about. We have, you know, mentions in our newsletter about natural gas, and that's up today in a down market. And one of our favorite stocks, Costco, is on our list, and it's still down from its big high a few weeks ago, but with a Dow down 1,500 points, the stock was up about, you know, from its low this morning, about 50 or 60 points, and it's up a little bit as we're making this broadcast. So I guess the rush to buy products that might go will be priced higher might be a reason for Costco running up. But that's one of my, you know, I shop there all the time. So I, you know, there's the old rule, you know, if you like a store and you use it, then people, other people are using it, it's probably a good stock to buy too. So that's, but in any event, that's just an interesting, you know, twist today in the market. So, yeah, it was really wild in trading yesterday on Wednesday. I mean, you know, we were talking about market down a little bit, then it rallies into the close, a lot of positive expectations. And then suddenly, you know, it reverses sharply overnight with the tariff news. But it just, you know, real exciting times if you're trading the market. So anyway, that's sort of a summary of what's happening right now. We're down and dirty. It's not gonna last forever by any stretch, but we're still in a negative time frame, so we're gonna have to watch here, and it may, you know, it may carry into a May Day or something like that. You know, we'll have to wait and see.
And Mark, you always like to add a little disclaimer here.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. Used to do manage money years ago, but we don't do that anymore. Just produce our newsletters. Thank you.
Now, looking at the trading board today, gold is down. Is this a case of a very temporary reduction in the price of gold? Maybe an opportunity to buy the dip?
I wouldn't buy it just yet. If you're already in it, I would stick with it. Way extended, short term. You know, gold could have a, you know, there's an old expression, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, when the markets come down, gold tends to move with the markets, so not always inverse to the markets. And, you know, I'm not dumping all, I had considered selling all the positions, and we may do so on a trading basis. I have to look at the charts later today. But, you know, I hate to sell and, you know, jump back in again if it takes off on me, because the trend is still, I think, substantially higher. And a lot of talk in the Trump administration about tying gold to the Treasury markets. The Fed chairman, Powell, is out the door next year. I'm pretty sure about that. And, you know, he's got Judy Shelton as a possibility. He's been talked about that, and she's a big gold bug. And tying, you know, U.S. treasuries to gold. And, I mean, the upside could be really dramatic. It might be foolish. But, you know, sure, you get a couple $100 pullback in gold here, maybe even more after a big, you know, after a big run-up. But, you know, core positions, I think you got to stay with. But I don't think on the first dip, I don't know if I would jump in here. I would give it, you know, a couple 3 weeks and see if we get more of a retracement before I would put on any new positions in the gold market.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, on energy, you said crude was down, natural gas up. Well, of course, all that snow in Flagstaff, they must be turning on the furnaces. Probably a little more than that going on. But so you think oil will go down to $50 in time for the driving season?
I don't know if it's going to happen for the summer. That's, you know, this is sort of a yearly, you know, forecast that we put out that, you know, my target for the year was down into the mid-50s, maybe even the high 40s. And it wouldn't have surprised me. We did have a nice little rally in crude oil in the last few weeks, it bounced up a little bit. And I wasn't sure if it was going to continue a little further before it headed south again. The overall trend stuff says it should go lower. And this is not necessarily, or maybe it is a lot tied to the drill baby drill expression with regard to Donald Trump and opening up the valves everywhere and pumping away. So we'll see. But even a lot of the oil stocks are down as well here. So the trend says, you know, I would look for pressure unless there's some, you know, dramatic geopolitical event. And that's still always a risk here. And, you know, the markets are talking about tariffs. And they're talking about, you know, whether the Fed will ultimately lower rates or not. And really, they should be talking about the money supply and whether Jay Powell's going to even remain in the same position. But, you know, we still have issues in Ukraine and in the Mideast. And the last I read, you know, I'm not interpreting the news, and I'm not a geopolitical expert, but, you know, Putin is still a wild card out there in terms of whether he's going to agree to, or even Ukraine agree to, a peace settlement, and there's still a potentially explosive situation this year between the Ukraine, Russia, and what's going on in Israel and Gaza and so forth. So, you know, crude oil could have another spike before it goes down again. That's a risk if you're trading, but I think the trend should be lower. That's sort of my interpretation.
Interest rates, do you think if there's economic pressure, they'll do more than one rate lowering this year?
I know there's a lot of political pressure to do that. I'm sure Trump is jawboning or about to jawbone Jay Powell about lowering the rates. You know, he's sort of stubborn. He may go the other way. He may hold rates or even raise them. He could do something really wild, like follow the Paul Volcker formula, where if we see an uptick in inflation here, though he may discount that, thinking, well, maybe it's a tariff-related situation, it's temporary and so forth. Who knows what's going through his head. But if he flips out and thinks that the inflation is really coming back, then he could jack rates up. And that, the market could be down here for that reason, you know, that rates may not be coming down and inflation is coming back. And that would, you know, throw all this into the tank in terms of the optimism of lower rates. And, you know, I don't see lowering the rates as the answer to the stock market. I mean, everybody seems to hold their breath about this, you know, last year, about how many rate cuts there were going to be and so forth. And that's the key to the market. It's a psychological factor if rates come down. I know mortgage rates came off here a little bit, but, you know, it's still up in the air what's going to happen with interest rates and what the Fed is really going to do or not do. So I'm sure, like I said a moment ago, Trump is probably jawboning Powell to lower the rates, and whether that'll happen, you know, is up in the air. But, you know, the evidence sort of points to the fact that rates may not be coming down so fast, though there is political pressure for that to happen. So it's really interesting how that'll all play out. But, you know, you really need to be looking at other stuff. As I mentioned earlier, you know, what's the M2 money supply doing? Is the Fed providing more liquidity to market, drawing in liquidity when they do stuff like that? I mean, their reserves, their money supply numbers, you know, during the COVID crisis a few years ago, they injected, you know, billions and trillions into the money supply to help support the economy and the world at that time when everything shut down. And I suppose if they do that, regardless of what they do with interest rates, you know, if they start pouring a lot of money into the money supply and stuff, that could help the markets. They may decide to do that rather than play with the interest rate scenario. So people don't pay much attention to how much, you know, cash is being pumped out by the Fed into the banks and so forth to provide liquidity during these times. So that may be another factor which may play more significantly than the interest rate story. So it's, you know, it's really questionable right here because inflation numbers had been high. They really hadn't been coming down, and a lot of the statistics that we've been seeing have misled us about what's really been happening in the inflation front here in the last year or so. So I don't believe the government numbers, and I've said this many times before, and I think the real business people out there knew that the inflation really wasn't coming down as much as was stated. So it's just a lot of you know, ingredients in the soup here, Jim, about what's going to happen. And I think ultimately we're going to come out of it. And the question is, you know, how much pain are we going to suffer first here? So, but the pain was expected. So we're just going to have to be patient if you're long-term in the markets. And if you're looking to get in, I think there's one hell of an opportunity here as the sell-off unfolds.
What's going on with cryptocurrencies?
Where they're getting hit here a little bit because of liquidity in the markets. You know, the cryptos tend to move, you know, with the overall market. It's more optimism, you know, lower inflation expectations, more liquidity, and so forth. So they're speculative, and they trade up and down, you know, with the markets more than contra markets. So they're having a correction here, and there's still a big bull, and I think the big opportunity here. We know what's happening in terms of the Trump expectations ahead. We know there's a Bitcoin reserve that they're proposing, and also a digital asset stockpile that's going to hopefully be created. But there has to be legislation passed to clear the air to make all this viable and usable, and that could take a while. It could stretch through this year into the summer of 2026 before all the legislation hopefully gets passed. So there is a little time here, you know, for this legislation to come through and for the Bitcoin reserve and digital asset stockpile to actually be created and implemented, and those would help the prices of crypto. So it's a, I don't want to say long term, but it's more of a near term play that any weakness in the crypto market is an opportunity. So you just have to pick your spot and be patient because they will go up, particularly as the government gets involved in the crypto business.
Yeah, I recall you said you thought Bitcoin could fall down to 72,000.
Correct. And there's even a number of 64 on the charts, too. So, you know, it could correct. I mean, look at the run it's had, you know, up to 107,000. You know, that's a big move. You know, if you just do some measurements on the chart, that gets you back into the 70s, maybe even a little bit lower as just a technical retracement. And we've seen that volatility in Bitcoin before, but I think it ultimately is probably going dramatically higher. You could figure this little technical term called swing counts. In other words, how much it drops and how much it's going to go up later. So let's say it goes from 107, you know, down to 70. Okay. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, 37,000 or so dollars down, and you can add that to your 107. So that, you know, gets you up to the mid or high 140s as your probably next big target if it reverses off that 70 level and breaks through to the upside. And I know some are predicting numbers a lot bigger than that, too. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Anything on the geocosmic front we should be keeping an eye out? Sounds like the dog has spotted a Sasquatch up there in the snow.
Yeah, we have some Sasquatches around. I just wish I had my camera out to catch one so I could become really famous and rich, right? If I get one on camera, that would be it. I could sell it to the Discovery Channel or something. No. On the geocosmic front, we're still in this little negative cyclical period, and been nothing really active with the solar flares and stuff the last couple of days. So it's, you know, been sort of quiet. So on the geocosmic front, I should say, things have been a little quiet. The volcanic activity is still high, but nothing dramatic that I could I can see. We did have a lunar eclipse, as you know, about a week or so back. But outside of that, there was really nothing dramatic that I see, you know, flashing to me on the charts right now. But we always watch the lunar cycles. You know, keep an eye on where the new moon and full moons are. If you're a trader, sometimes you get little trading swings around those cycles if the market's overbought or oversold into them. And we post that in our newsletter, too. So I've only tracked that for about 40 years in terms of correlations with lunar cycles and all the markets. So it's something just to watch if you're a trader. But for the investor, it may be a bit irrelevant. Yeah, but sort of quiet on the geocosmic front, as I can see as of this morning.
Good luck on the trip home out of the snow.
Thank you so much.
And enjoy the wedding.
I'm going to try. Stay sober. Thank you.
Well, if you're having it close to home, maybe you don't have to.
Right. I don't want to be having it and then have to drive, that's for sure. Yeah. No, I'll be back down in Phoenix for that this weekend. But thank you for mentioning it, and great chatting with you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from what is right now snowy Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.